This is Classic Poetry Aloud, and this is the first in the Remembrance Week septet. This is taken from Fears in Solitude by Samuel Taylor Coleridge, written in April 1798 during the alarm of an invasion. There was a perpetual fear in Britain at the time of an invasion from the French, and Coleridge lays out an attack on all the woes that are manifest in Britain at the time, and in the middle section talks about how a country that has not had to engage in war and is protected by the sea from seeing war and its effects elsewhere can be all too easily overcome with the appeal of the thought of war. Prior to this section, he rails against other things that are wrong in the country, and he talks in particular about how government is failing to do the job. Meanwhile, he says at home, all individual dignity and power engulfed in courts, committees, institutions, associations, and societies, a vain speech-mouthing, speech-reporting guild, one benefit club for mutual flattery. We have drunk up, demure as at a grace, pollutions from the brimming cup of wealth. I think it's easy to forget how violently passionate the Romantics could be about these things, simultaneously patriotic and with a sense of history of Britain, and railing against the current state of things at the time. He is particularly clear on how the Bible was used to prop up and to coat a veneer of respectability over much that was wrong. Before the piece I'm about to read, he says, O blasphemous, the book of life is made a superstitious instrument on which we gabble o'er the oaths we mean to break. For all must swear, all and in every place, college and wharf, council and justice court, all must swear, the briber and the bribed, merchant and lawyer, senator and priest, the rich, the poor, the old man and the young, all make up one scheme of perjury. It's a fantastic assault on hypocrisy. And then he talks about how the country, in its ignorance of the reality of warfare, is getting itself ready to go to war. Thankless too for peace, peace long preserved by fleets and perilous seas, secure from actual warfare, we have loved to swell the war whoop, passionate for war. Alas, for ages, ignorant of all its ghastlier workings, famine or blue plague, battle or siege or flight through wintry snows, we, this whole people, have been clamorous for war and bloodshed. Animating sports, the which we pay for is a thing to talk of, spectators and not combatants. No guess, anticipative of a wrong unfelt, no speculation on contingency, however dim and vague, too vague and dim to yield a justifying cause. And fourth, stuffed out with big preamble, holy names, and adjurations of the God in heaven, we send our mandates for the certain death of thousands and ten thousands. Boys and girls and women that would groan to see a child pull off an insect's leg all read of war, the best amusement for our morning meal. The poor wretch who has learnt his only prayers from curses, who knows scarcely words enough to ask a blessing from his heavenly Father, becomes a fluent phraseman, absolute and technical in victories and defeats, and all our dainty terms for fracticide. Terms which we trundle smoothly o'er our tongues like mere abstractions, empty sounds to which we join no feeling and attach no form. As if the soldier died without a wound, as if the fibres of this godlike frame were gored without a pang, as if the wretch who fell in battle doing bloody deeds passed off to heaven, translated and not killed, as though he had no wife to pine for him, no God to judge him. Therefore, evil days are coming on us, O my countrymen, and what if all-avenging providence, strong and retributive, should make us know the meaning of our words, force us to feel the desolation and the agony of our fierce doing.